Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Hey, hello, good morning, welcome, howdy, how do you do? Good day. It's me, Jesse, here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University. We broadcast, I'm very grateful that we are able to broadcast on the unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, Stolo, Katsi, Kwikwetlem, and other Coast Salish peoples. And we are committed as an organization to ongoing efforts towards reconciliation and recognizing the value and the place of Indigenous peoples and Indigenous cultures to the nation that we are every day building through our actions. So, just want to keep that in mind as we move forward today. On the show, it's going to be a bit of a grab bag. We'll see if I am joined by any special guests. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. I know I have a very fun and intriguing find from the archives as I spent the day at our remote studio yesterday. So we got that and some music and just a general bit of stuff. We'll talk about some other things going on in the world as well, I suppose. Anyway, we are going to start with, let's do that. So my good friend and radio co-host and former roommate and just general all-around friend guy and former CJSF Arts and Entertainment Coordinator, Jamie Sessford, his band Self Care are enjoying an unprecedented run of success right now. They played a headlining show at the Roxy last night, and this Saturday are playing another headlining show at the Fox Cabaret, which is very exciting, both because it's a cool venue that lots of other cool bands have played, and it's cool. It'll be cool to see them on stage, but also because it's like three blocks away from my house, so now I have no excuses not to go see Self Care with the Sons of Cain and Little Fix Saturday at the Fox Cabaret, doors at 7. So I'm going to play you the hit single by Jamie and company, Self Care. This one is called All the Way. We'll be right back.
bird note. Cliff swallows have returned from wintering in South America, and they're gathering in nesting colonies. A single colony in the west may contain up to 3,700 nests. In the east, colonies are generally a bit smaller. Look for swarms of these swallows under bridges, on cliffs, under the eaves of barns, or even the side of a house. They construct their gourd-shaped nests out of mud, side by side and all jumbled together. One parent usually guards the nest, often peeking out of the round opening, showing its creamy white forehead patch. Cliff swallows consume hordes of flying insects. These birds have only five different calls, but one, a unique squeak call, tells others that they've found food. So when one bird finds a swarm of insects, it spreads the word to its neighbors. Perhaps part of the reason these birds thrive in large colonies. Find out about bird-friendly ways to garden when you come to our website, birdnote.org. I'm Michael Stein. Support for BirdNote is provided by Jerry Tone and Martha Wyckoff from Seattle, Washington, and generous listeners around the world.
Welcome back to Speak Up with me, Jesse, here on CJSF 90.1 FM. You just heard Bird Note, our favorite daily bird fact podcast. And before that, you heard All the Way by Self Care. A fun little track about playing in a band and touring across the country and hoping you might make it big. Always the dream. You can go see Self Care on Saturday at the Fox. The Fox Theater is on Main Street, just near Main and Broadway. Let me get the actual physical address for you in case you need to take a maps service or ride there. 2321 Main Street, that's what it is. This Saturday, June 17th at 7 p.m., Self-Care with the Sons of Cain and Little Fix. I'll be there, so maybe I will see you, I hope. Let's pivot and we're going to get to, my recurring, what did I find in CJSF's CD archives feature, early in the show this week, for a number of reasons. One of them is, just that this is just so up my alley that I could not help myself. So last week, if you were listening, you may remember that we spent some time talking about sound art and even me indulgently listening or playing for you a piece of sound art that I made. And that comes from, a long-standing interest in sound art, but also my time at the National Community Radio Conference in Calgary last week. Well, I guess it's more than last week at this point, 2 weeks ago. Whew, time flies. Where I went to two sessions, at least, that dealt directly with sound art and spent a lot of time talking and thinking about it. Anyway, we talked about it on the show and played my example of it. And then yesterday when I was down at 312, the first CD I pulled out was a CD by the Hafler Trio. And the reason I pulled it out is that it's a large format. It's, about 1.5 times the height of your average compact disc. Maybe 1 1/3, if I'm really looking at it. So it looks more like a book than a CD, and it's made of paper. And then there is some very provocative artwork on the back featuring a photo of a person dressed as a nun. As is very classic with the old campus community radio physical media, that the label, which has been affixed in masking tape and then written on with Sharpie. There's also a printed sticker and other things, but the first iteration is this thick masking tape that says Hafler Trio, May 13th, 93. That's the day it was added. And then there are a whole bunch of comments, like number 34, !! 63 minutes to 3108, 30 to 58, really quiet, no repeat, noise. And so that got me interested. And then another thing that happened, which is really, really great, that I always, always love, on top of the interesting physical design of the packaging, the booklet, the CD came, the little slipcover for the CD is fabric instead of like plastic or paper or whatever, which is kind of nice. And then you put it into the CD player and I started playing it, and it made me check if the mixing board was working, because it was playing and nothing was happening, and I was cranking the speakers, I was plugging headphones in, I was turning things off and on. I realized that it was in fact playing the whole time, as it has been the whole time that I have been talking to you right now. Begins with some very, very, very low, deep, quiet rumble, which I'll pause for a moment. Yeah, hear that? That's just going on in the background. There's some very ambient field recording stuff going on beneath that even. So that got me super excited, and also realizing that this album is 34 tracks long. The first one is this 43-minute odyssey, and then it's followed by 33 tracks of near silence, or very, very short near silence, like one second or sub 1 second track. So there's a lot of like weirdness going on just intentionally in terms of how this is designed and presented. So I thought that was really cool. That's before I even got into opening the album art or reading up about the Hafler Trio. So I'll give you a little bit of background before we get into the book itself. And we're just going to keep this this fun ambience going in the background while I do it. The Hafler Trio is not a trio to begin with. They're English and a conceptual performance and sound art collaborative project. That sounds about right. They were originally a duo formed in the early 1980s by Andrew McKenzie and Chris Watson. Chris Watson would go on to be one of the founding members of Cabaret Voltaire. Actually, I think he was in Cabaret Voltaire and then went on to be in the Hafler Trio. Cabaret Voltaire started off as very much a sound art project and then sort of morphed into a sound art influenced rock band. Lots of cool stuff there from Chris Watson and company. But the Hafler Trio, as I said, was a duo of Andrew McKenzie and Chris Watson with a fictional third person named, a scientist named Dr. Edward Muhlenbeek. So that got me pretty excited. The idea of a band that's called a trio that's actually just, well, now just one person, but also originally two people plus a made up third person. Very fun. And then that got me into, you know, they're focused on Dadaism and, oh gosh, super cool, super, super cool stuff. Anyway, this is the kind of noise stuff they make, which I'm talking over, which is very rude. But I thought it would make for a good illustration of how I came upon this. And also, it provides a cool opportunity to do a little bit of, I don't know if it's sound art, performance art. I'm going to engage with this material with you live on air by reading out the almost poetic, not quite prosaic, almost stream of conscious writings that make up the album booklet contained within Mastery of Money by Hafler Trio. We have been listening to Bull Baiting, and I think we'll also get into Empty Rooms and Their Occupants. We'll see how much further we make it into the track listing. But for now, This is Mastery of Money by Hafler Trio. Remember, a man with death watch beetle in his wooden leg is better off than a man with a tin leg in a thunderstorm. H. N. As the doors open, the expectations mingle into a solid wax ball that can be rolled around the space with impunity by anyone that chooses to soil their hands. As the scent of cloves rises and the screaming is over, they dance around the flames in an embarrassed attempt to seal their own conception of that which has or has not happened. Questions regarding the existence of those with one foot on the printed page and one on the corpse of a namesake reach the ears with a muffled snicker. The repetition feels hypocritical, and the liquids offend those on the defensive. The atmosphere is left behind to fester in the wounds of those driven to extremes of self-congratulation. How to be honest without being total? How to avoid blisters and splinters whilst working with material that requires specialist protective measures on all levels? The missing digits are collected by those with whom no communication is desired. The paper strips are rent. The lower orders are suddenly curtailed in place from the flood of retrogressive openings. The knife is made blunt on the concrete and should never have been borrowed from the man that stole. The hilarity of discovery is curtailed by the discovery of solace in the known. The origination is impossible to discern. Let us be happy with that fait accompli. M. Alternatives are things of the past, as everyone knows. How such a construction could have ever been made or even thought of is a cause for great mirth here. The very idea of sickness evaporates like a drop of water on that odious hot plate, cleaving, separating. The dirt underneath the rough fingernails cries out for a solution. The silent witnesses of countless accidents, the eyes have it. Another reference to the moth creates only nausea and disbelief. Therefore, it shall not be made. L. In cages. The last flutterings of a romance pushed way too far, burned up in mid-flight by the heat from the effort. The mechanism of regret disabled with a single compressive blow to the vital parts. All the vague rumblings plastered onto an easel and then chopped meticulously into matchsticks by a perverted woodsman. Oh, how we laughed. Or not. The loss of the beloved image, shattered, tattered, and bloody from bashing too many times against the same wall in the name of perseverance. I laugh at my own idealism, finally. The weight of the past used to balance the appreciation of now. As if I could talk about that chimera coherently, or even convincingly. There was no writing in any case. Perhaps this proves the reason for the nebulous nature of the breakdown. I wish to God I knew. But there again, I don't. K. A floor, but not a floor. A gigantic box isolated from everywhere else, each corner supported by massive springs. The door made from 3 tons of concrete. Death in the mouth. Vertigo as an obligatory exercise. Click. Without judging the lack, conjuring up the appearance of the reverse in order to stimulate the hypothetical manifested in the flesh. The movements of those condemned to be filed away in an archive, of sorts. The targets are pinned to their breasts. The intonation later grafted onto this budding shrub is an unknown factor, but designed for an opposite effect. The integration of the senses falls foul of the expansion of the material, effect and mistaken effect. It's all done with smoky mirrors and torches with failing batteries. It's the use of any kind of complementary process is encouraged, if not demanded, by the resulting network of associations that arise seemingly spontaneously from the morass of indefinable feelings. They stay that way until painstakingly chipped away with a hammer and chisel, banging from below, from above, calling. A draft from the entire house that kills the African weeds kept as houseplants. A small room with a floor and many items of peripheral interest strewn across it. Removal of shoes. An uncomfortable friend who disappeared due to the lack of that which was standard to him. Jay. And the final sweepings coagulate into their own fine order, leaving nothing but a sickly scent which destroys the sense of smell in a matter of minutes. Everything appears to come out of the same bottle. The voice speaks that which is already attained, but endeavors to create just that, parallelogram. The disparate threads bind together like a tangled shoelace, and impede movement in a more or less the same manner. Falling upwards, the regression into infantile modes of expression is at first a cause for alarm, and then a source of reassurance. The joy of losing without first gaining. As it is opened, it closes, suffocating, cocooning, mummifying, overprotecting, supporting limbs long removed, and fouling any air conditioning already installed. Growing old, but not accepting the twinges that illuminate that state. The paper cuts that used to annoy are now a quaint reminder of what used to be called pain. Alarm bells cannot, or will not, be heard. The year's turn means nothing anymore, and its celebration is the desperate cry of the wounded soul craving attention. The ritual abandoned in favor of the combination of faculties that are governed by the brain, but only in name. The blots seep through onto the next sheet. Heaven help us. The suggestibility of the absence of life, but the remnants thereof. Cigarette smoke filmed curling up after describing a perfect straight line into patterns of calligraphic designs. A fascist act dissolved into carbon to be later analyzed through celluloid, if ever. The remembrance of chlorinated water remains fast as an afterthought, as does the even more potent poison which was neutralized by the simple act of superimposing a slightly contrasting snapshot over the chosen frame. It is removed, and yet closer to the original location. An eventual dwelling, a re-beginning, a leap into the familiar, coming to terms with self-hate. Displaying this within the abuse of so-called others, I force myself on those occupying the same temporary space. I penetrate them without a single conscious thought for the creation that nightly throttles. Instead of shrugging off a mantle, donning the heaviest in the wardrobe, the can is opened, and the contents must be eaten within a very short time. Under the influence, enjoying the confluence. Set free by becoming the slave of a process borrowed but elaborated on from another, which reveals more than I had bargained for. A modus operandi that sucks just like the desire that every time fulfilled never does. Ah, what do I know, apart from all that I need to? H. The melting of coils by the minimal yet precise movement on an infinitesimal scale is but one proof of effectiveness. Construction is very possibly harmful to the health, the Achilles heel being the oil and water situation as regards various media. The tools are rusty. The production consists of no smoking areas, empty bottles, and waiting. Alarms systems with movement sensors that give a fraction of a second to vacate the building before shattering most of the neighboring windows and dragging those responsible out of bed. Motivation growing slowly. The keywords splayed out and overlapping, drawn from an illegally acquired document which probably caused the painful demise of the previous owner. ghosts being eaten left, right, and somewhere near the center. A vague realization of a beginning and an end to something or other. A longing for another land, or what could easily be taken for it, being taken. Initiating a process that has consequences that cannot be foreseen, but well imagined. A vague cloud of dust settling. In love with love itself, but not the people contained within it. Emotional Russian roulette played with surgical instruments in the dark, over and over. Waiting. Fascinated with the newly found access to the self, but not knowing what to make of it. Recognizing the spoor, the scent, the foliage, and the local dialect, but, thankfully, not understanding a damn word. Not that it matters, according to the originator. Contrary to every single mark on paper with his signature at the bottom. The very inappropriateness of the application and transmission of the information remains its greatest charm, without a shred of doubt. Those with the necessary receiver get the greatest undesired effect. An unexploded bomb. But for how long? The Hafler Trio. Bull baiting, empty rooms in their occupation.